Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And today's an important show for you. And I don't care if you currently own single family rental properties or maybe multifamily, maybe you own some apartment communities. Maybe you don't own any of those, but you are a homeowner. This show is important for you as well. Heck, maybe you're just a renter. You don't own any of these things. This show is important for you as well. We'll tell you why. And no, I'm not going to be talking about the headline inflation number that just came out. It blows me away. Here it is again, the highest. We just keep going higher and higher, don't we? 8.5% for March. But no, that is not our topic today. It's another number that does keep climbing, has been for the past decade here in Texas anyhow. And I'm talking about home values. And of course, those trickle down into our topic today, which are those property taxes and protesting those valuations. And I've got an expert with me that's going to help us work through that process and tell us how we can do that to save ourselves some dollars this year and every year going forward. And just to give you a couple numbers, just looking back on 2021, I went out to the Texas A&M University Real Estate Research Center website. Great place to go if you want to read about Texas real estate. And the median home price in 2021, and this is relevant to our conversation today, median home price across all of Texas was up 15.6%. That's all of Texas. That includes far west Texas. That includes down to the tippy bottom there, adjacent to Mexico, all the way up to the panhandle. If I dial it in, these are some mind-boggling numbers. Austin saw a 13.8% increase in home prices. Dallas, where I am, 17.4. Fort Worth, 18.8. Houston, 15 and some change. San Antonio is around there as well, 14.4. And of course, with those increases, you will see when you get your tax bill, if you have not already, you're going to see an increase. So what do you do about it? Well, I'm bringing on with me today Julian Ball. He's with Ball Property Tax Services, and they've actually been a vendor with Lifestyles Unlimited for a very long time now, since April of 2014. I went out and checked the vendor hub, which you can do as well if you're a Lifestyles member and looking for somebody to help you with this process of protesting taxes. And I checked. Julian, you guys are very highly rated, 5 out of 5 stars. So you're doing a great job for the members. And I thank you for coming on today and helping us work through this very important topic. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to set the stage for us before we get into the whole county appraisal district and those numbers they're putting out there. I know you've got some numbers for us for your area. Why don't you tell us where you're at and just tell us a little bit about what you do?
Okay, I'm in the San Antonio area, Central Texas, and we filed protests for taxpayers trying to reduce their property taxes. As you said, we had some numbers come out this year. It looks like we're going to have huge increases. Bexar County is looking at 28% increases on residential. Comal, 30 to 50%. Guadalupe, 33%. So those are some pretty large numbers.
Wow. So thinking about Comal, I can do the math in my head here. If I had a property valued at $100,000 last year and they went up 50%, that means I'm now valuing at $150,000. That's clearly going to really push up my tax burden as well. So correct. You go out and you fight with them on my behalf, essentially.
That's correct. And it was 30 to 50% Comal was the number they reported.
Oh, I know. I heard the 30, but I also heard the 50. Well, you know, it's interesting because I have been routinely checking the websites. I mean, again, for the listener that might be new, I'm in Dallas-Fort Worth. Julian's in San Antonio. And my single family holdings at the moment are in Dallas, Denton, and Tarrant counties. And I've been checking those routinely because I want to know what the hit's going to be. None of them have published their valuations yet. So when that leads me to my first question, actually, I guess I thought April 1st was the deadline. When do those notices normally go out? When do they have to tell me?
there's no deadline when they have to tell you. The state deadline to protest is May 15th. If you receive the notice after April 15th, then you have 30 days from the date of the notice to file the protest. But this year, the deadline is May 16th, actually, because 15th falls on a Sunday. So May 16th is the state deadline to file the protest.
But
they should all be coming in the mail anytime.
Okay. I'll get out to my P.O. box again. And I'm checking online, quite frankly. I don't. Is there a discrepancy as to what, do you not, maybe you know when they mail versus when that gets posted online?
They usually publish them about the same time they mail them. So, you know, the mail could be slower and they could be online prior to the mailing.
Okay. And just to repeat what you said, the deadline to protest your taxes is May 16th, but that's only if they've gotten that valuation out the door to me on or before April 15th or 16th, right?
That is correct. Or if they didn't change the value, they do not have to send out a notice.
So okay.
If it stays the same, they're not required to file the notice. We tell everybody, look online, check all your values and protest based on what you find there. Or just by May 16th, just file protest.
Okay, and we'll talk later in the show what that means or how you do that. And again, this is something that can impact you as just a homeowner, whether you have rental houses like we're going to talk about today or not, whether you own apartments or not. If you just own your own home, you're going to want to do the things that we talk about. And if you're a renter, I bring this up for you. If you're listening now, you're catching the program. You want to make sure that your landlord, that your rental owner, whoever owns a house, that they're doing this as well, because they can potentially lower their tax burden and hopefully then not have to push through as much of that rent hike as they otherwise may have to do. So notices should be going out. I have Julian, I'm telling you, I'm waiting with bated breath, because they every year they take me up somewhat. Every year I go and fight them and I get them back down. And I'm real curious after those numbers I read to you, what we've seen across Texas in terms of price growth. I'm really curious to see what it's going to do this year. Stick around. We're going to head into a break and talk about how the county determines that number in the first place. That's our starting point for this journey.
Del Wamsley on the economy and politics.
What happens if the economy turns around and goes back down now the Democrats are in power, or inflation becomes rampant and all of a sudden it becomes very difficult to do business? I was listening to an economist the other day and he pulled out this chart of GDP. He said, look, here's what I want you to do. He said, tell me anywhere from 1950 to 2021 where the Democrats took power and where the Republicans took power. He said, point it out for me. And the truth of the matter is you can't tell.
If you're sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what the politicians are going to do, or waiting to see what the economy's going to do, if you're trying to predict the future, stop. Politicians and the economy have no bearing on your success or failure. Only you do. Register for the next live online free workshop. We'll unfold the map to retirement in 5 years or less, regardless of what's going on in the world. It's the same proven strategies we've been using for 30 years through every political party and economic cycle you can think of. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. You're listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. If you have any questions for me, you can send me an email to askandy@luinc.com. Again, askandy@luinc.com. And I'm joined today by Julian Ball. He is with Ball Property Tax Services out of San Antonio. And what he and his company do is they go out on your behalf and they protest the we commonly call it, they protest your taxes, right? Your property taxes. What they're doing is protesting the value, the appraised value that the county has assigned to your house, your apartment complex, whatever it is, and they try to get that value lowered. And of course, that value ultimately is what then drives the property taxes that you are due to pay in October or towards the end of the year. But Julian, my question, I guess, is when I get that letter in the mail or I look online at what the appraisal district has posted for my new value for the year, How are they getting to that number? Help me understand that part.
They're basically going out and looking at all the comparable sales that have taken place in the neighborhood that your property's in and applying a percentage, overall percentage of what the values went up and doing a mass adjustment to the neighborhood. And so but it's based off the comparable sales. I mean, what has sold in your neighborhood.
So are they, now when I, as an investor, when I'm looking to buy a house, I look at the house, I look at the footprint in terms of, you know, three bed, two bath, and the square footage, one story, two story, pool, no pool. It sounds to me, based on what you just said, they're applying an algorithm, an equation. They're not really diving into the footprint of my house to determine the value, are they?
They are. They're using your characteristics of your property to come up with that, making adjustments for pools, one with or without pools, and looking at the number of rooms in the house, all that's got in their calculations to come up with the market value. I mean, they're going to look at similar properties to yours when you get down to the protest level. You know, they're going to look at five or six sales and say, these are what's really similar to you, and that's how it will be done.
Okay, but at the start, it's more of a mass approach. Again, an algorithm of sorts that they're running across, you know, just in the background. Big data is the word of the day these days out in corporate America. And from what I've understood, and they're applying that to my footprint then. Bedroom count is worth this much, square footage, et cetera. But then when I go to protest, I'm going to be dialing in a little bit closer to those similar properties. And what time frame are they looking at for this valuation?
They're going to be looking at sales during the 2021 year. They may go up as far as March 1st. Some of them do look at March 1, 2022 at the sales. And given that the increases that we've had this year, they may just be looking at the last half of the year or last quarter of the year sales.
Yeah, the rate of appreciation changes throughout the year, right? We saw that in 2020 when everything stopped in February, March with the onset of COVID and then really took off at the end of the year. And so, okay, so they may not use the full year 2021. And in fact, they may use part of 2022, which is unfortunate because guess what? that value just keeps going up. Okay, so key dates, though, for me to consider are probably the full year of 2021. And you said that if I see my value, I'm a homeowner, and I see they've taken my value up, and I'm not happy with that, and I want to protest that, I need to file my protest by May 16th, generally speaking. How do I do that? What does that process look like?
You know, on their website, most counties have an electronic where they can file the electronic filing of the protest. Or you can just go on there and download the form under forms, a protest form, and fill that form out and mail it in.
And if I'm hiring you or some other company to do that on my behalf, what do I, as the owner of that property, have to do?
Typically, we will require that you will just send us your property listing, and we will send you back. You know, we prepare appointment of agent forms, which we have to file with the appraisal district that says you authorized us to represent you. And we take care of all the filing, all the paperwork, the hearings, the informal level, the ARB level, and then give you the results at the end of the season.
Okay. And so I'm essentially hiring you as my agent. And in fact, I do the protest on my wife's behalf. So when we've bought our rental properties, I'll buy a few in my name and she'll buy a few in her name. And when I go down to protest my properties, no problem. I'm Andy Webb. I show them my license. They know who I am. If I want to protest hers, I have to actually fill out a form that allows her to make me, as her husband, her agent as well. So you're essentially doing the same thing. Now, you mentioned, you said, okay, informal, and then I heard ARB in there. So that kind of hints a little bit at the process, because at May 16th, what I'm doing is just simply filing that I want to protest. I may not be going in front of the ARB already, which is the Appraisal Review Board. Before I get to that Appraisal Review Board, again, ARB, what am I doing first?
Well, you have to get the paperwork filed, the protest filed. And then after you file the protest, then that's when I'm doing research, looking at what sales activity took place in the my neighborhood, comparing those sales to my house to see what the value I think it would sell for based on the comparable sales. you know, just doing all that research ahead of time before you go to even to an informal hearing or an informal phone hearing.
What is an informal hearing? What is that?
That's you talking to an appraiser at the appraisal district, one-on-one type thing. And so you're just having discussions with him about the valuation of your property, very informal. You're not going before the board yet. And if you come to an agreement there, you sign an agreement with him, a settlement and waiver, a protest, and you're finished. You know, there's nothing further for you to do.
Okay, so it's just me walking off the street. You know, I've got my wife. She's signed that form that makes me her agent for Tarrant County, let's say. I drive down to the Tarrant County Appraisal District over there on Hanley-Edderville Road in Fort Worth. I know the place by heart. I've been there too many times, but I just walk in off the street. I pull a number, and I get in line. It's pretty much the same way everywhere. That's the informal process. And eventually, John, I know these guys' names by now, and John calls me up, and I ask him about his favorite beer, and we talk a little bit, and then, you know, I start to slowly ease the hammer out of my pocket and start working on the guy with my comps and my repair budgets and my pictures. And we'll talk about that later in the show. That's the informal part. And I don't know if you have an idea. I just personally, from my own track record, I'd say about 75% of my protests that I do, I'm settling already at this informal stage. So for somebody that's doing this professionally, do you guys have a similar record, or what does that look like for you guys?
You know, we're probably in that same category, similar to numbers to that. It really depends on the year. I think this year, being that we have such high increases, projecting such high increases across the state, we will be at more of the formal hearings, the ARB hearings.
So the ARB, the Appraisal Review Board, that's the more formal part of the process. So if I fail with John and my conversation about your favorite craft beer, John, and et cetera, then I'm going to go to the ARB. Now's where you start to get a little nervous. Maybe your palms get a little bit sweaty. Ooh, that's the formal part. That sounds like a tribunal, and it is a tribunal, but we're going to dissuade you. We're going to tell you it's not that bad. So stick around. We'll come back.
Styles Unlimited member Kirby talks about his experience at the two-day financial freedom seminar.
2008 was my first full year as a financial advisor. 2009, stark contrast, my paychecks went down about 80%. I started looking for avenues to grow my wealth, grow my income. I found Lifestyles Unlimited. I joined in 2010. I started investing in both single family and multifamily. Between 2010 and 2015, I bought 5 houses. The two-day class, they teach you to buy 4 houses to make your first $250,000. I bought 5 and I made about $60,000 each. That was another 300 grand that I made because of real estate.
You've heard us and our members on the radio. Now join the Lifestyles Unlimited team in a city near you or online from the comfort of your own home for the Financial Freedom Seminar. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Use promo code 2022. Save 60% off the regular price, plus get a second year of membership for free. Register now at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Limited seating, unlimited potential. Register today at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb, and we are talking property tax protest today because it is that time of year. Spring storms are a-brewing, where we were hearing about the hailstorms that are coming, the stuff that's coming out of the west, headed to the northeast, hunkering down, all that fun stuff. And along with that spring storm season comes our appraisal district valuations, are commonly known as our property tax values. And you got to fight that stuff. You absolutely have to fight. You can't fight the weather, but you can fight those property tax valuations. And I've got a gentleman with me today that can help you do that. And that's Julian Ball with Ball Property Tax Services. Julian, you said earlier in the show you are down in San Antonio, right?
That's correct.
Okay. What coverage, how far out do you go with your services? What part of, are you just doing Bexar County, or how far out do you go?
No, we go from Travis County, Austin, Williamson County, all the way down south of San Antonio.
Okay, that's a pretty good footprint. And we were talking over the break. You're not just doing houses. You also do apartments, right?
Yes, we do apartments as well.
Okay, which is great for my Lifestyles Unlimited listeners, because what are we doing? We're buying houses and we're buying apartments, and we want to fight the tax valuation in both cases. And to do that, we talked already a little bit about the informal process. And for the listener, it really is. It is informal. There's not a lot to it. There may be a little bit of waiting in a big room. And to be honest with you, Julian, I don't know what it's going to look like this year. The past 2 years in Dallas County, I haven't even been able to go down to the offices. I had to do everything virtually. I know Tarrant County's relaxed. Denton County has relaxed. Van Zandt County has relaxed. What are things looking like down in your area as far as that part of the process? Are you able to meet and greet with these people nowadays?
The informal level, it sounds like they're going to try to keep that as much as they can on the phone or video. The formal level, you can still go to the board hearings. But last year, the appraisers from the appraisal district were just videoed into the board hearing or phoned into the board hearing. So, you know, I think times have changed with COVID and everybody going online to Zoom. And I think the Zoom meetings or whatever type of video is helpful to the taxpayers that has a job out there working. They don't have to take off. They can Zoom in and do that meeting without going down there and waiting for a hearing and spending a half day down there trying to accomplish that hearing.
Yeah, that's a very valid point. That's actually an excellent point. One of the side effects for us as Lifestyles Unlimited members is we're able to do all of the education online. I've always valued that aspect because it allows me to travel and do all kinds of things. But yeah, that's a great point for those that maybe haven't done this in the past because they just haven't had time. Do it now. Absolutely do it now. We talked about informal, and we were just kind of talking around the ARB, which is the Appraisal Review Board. And I know a lot of people get nervous at that level. What is the ARB? Who is on the ARB, and should I be scared of them?
Well, the ARB is represented by taxpayers in that county, and you shouldn't be scared of them. I mean, they're just citizens. So you know, you go down there and you sit before a panel of three, and the appraiser's in the room, you're in the room, in typical times. By video, it may be you in the room and the three members in a video. But it's an informal process. Everything's read in, very formal and all that, but it typically is a very informal process, and there's nothing to be scared of. Just go down there and tell them your side of the story.
And in fact, story is a very good word. Not that you're making this up on the go, but you do want to have a story about that property and why they should lower the value. We'll get into that probably end of this segment, maybe in the last segment, because that's really how you're going to get that value reduced. But you're right. It's essentially volunteers, citizens that are from my county that feel the duty to participate in some way. And I'll be honest with you, Julian, the very first time I went down to an ARB, again, that's the Appraisal Review Board hearing, it was in Dallas County. I remember it very vividly. It was my first two properties. Both were in Dallas County. And I was super nervous, and the tribunal, because it is three of them, there are three, the tribunal, the ARB, they could see that, and they were very helpful. They kind of coaxed some of the information out of me. They got me going, and once the dam burst, I was able to show all my pictures, all my evidence, etc. So it's definitely not anything to be afraid of. But again, if you do the kind of Texas two-step, try that informal approach first, and if that doesn't work out, then you go to the ARB. Now, Julian, what if the ARB doesn't work out? Is there another level if I absolutely want to go that route?
Yeah, there's two levels or three levels, really. You can file to the arbitration, binding arbitration, or you can file litigation on that. Then there's a state hearing that I don't hear many people taking advantage of that. Usually on residential arbitration you're going to proceed with.
Okay, and if we choose to go that route, if you're representing me, you're my agent, I've signed that paperwork, are you the one that then is going down that route on my behalf in front of the arbitrator or litigator or whatever?
We typically do the arbitration for the clients if we go that route, if we think it needs to be arbitrated. We get involved and help write the reports to present to the arbitrator.
Okay.
We actually have the hearing with the arbitrator.
So just to summarize here, the general process, if you haven't gotten your notice of appraised value already. Maybe they didn't change the values. Good for you. You can still protest it. Go look online. If you haven't gotten them and they're not published online, those should be coming soon. I keep looking. And once you get those, you can go down and do it online, do the informal hearing with the appraiser. It's very straightforward. You do need to take your evidence, have that story. If you don't like the outcome there, you go to the ARB. You get two shots at this, and potentially you can go farther. You can, of course, hire somebody like Julian with Ball Property Tax Services. There are a lot of them out there in my area here in Dallas-Fort Worth, for example, as well. If you're a member at Lifestyles Unlimited, be sure to go to the Vendor Hub because you can find these guys there as well and see how they've been rated and whatnot. But that's the general process. Now, I am curious, Julian, as you are seeing the notices come out already in your area in Bexar County. You said Comal County, a couple of others. Are we seeing bigger hits, bigger differences in the way they're taking those values up for owner occupants versus rental owners?
No, I think it's pretty much standard across the board. I think they're just looking at the neighborhood.
And when I go down there, I'm not thinking about my personal residence. I'm thinking about my rental houses, and I've got great residents in there, and I try to treat them right. I try not to be too aggressive necessarily on the rent, but boy, if the values go up the way you mentioned 50% on the top end in Comal County, if that happens, well, what do I got to do? I got to take the rent up. Does that appraiser care? Is that a good story? Is that a good sales point for him or her to say, hey, I'm going to have to take up my rent massively to offset this tax increase burden if you don't lower the value? Do they care?
They do not care.
I'm sad.
They do not care.
So landlords, don't go in all emotional and talking about, I've got some elderly residents in a few of my properties, fixed income. It doesn't matter. That is not a sales point. So take that away. What we're going to do, we're going to head into a break here in just a little bit. We've got a couple minutes, I think. But on the back end, I do want to get into how to approach that. What are the tips and tricks, you know, what are you doing? What should I do as a rental owner in particular, or a homeowner? What should I be doing? What should I be taking with me to create that story? And the last thing I wanted to do in this segment, because I've mentioned that I'm still sitting on my hands waiting for those valuations. If you're like me and you are a rental property owner, a lot of my leases are coming up very soon, and I have to send out my renewal notices. In fact, I've had to send a few of those out. I don't yet know what the property appraised value is going to come in at from the tax perspective, and that is a potentially large hit. What do you do? Well, we already heard from Julian that they're going to go out and look at 2021 values, maybe up to March of 2022. So you need to go out and find out what did your subdivision do in that period of time? Try to put a value, try to assign your own value for that market value, and then you can impute your tax burden based on last year's rates. That's exactly what I did in order to get to what I thought was going to happen when those appraisal notices finally show up in my PO box, and I offered my renewals on that basis. So if you don't know, you got to kind of figure back your way into that number. So stick around. We're going to talk about how you protest very concretely on the backside.
Your challenge is that you don't believe you can be rich, is that you don't believe you can retire within 5 years. That's half of your challenge. And until you can come up with that belief system, until you can reconcile that in your mind, you won't be willing to take the steps necessary to get there. So you need to get in here and meet some people.
Join us for the next free workshop and meet the people at Lifestyles Unlimited that will share Del Walmsley's belief system and empower you to take the steps you need to be successful. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. I am joined today by Julian Ball. He's one of our vendors out of the San Antonio area, and he's been with Lifestyles Unlimited on our vendor hub, on our vendor portal, as a participant of the program since April of 2014, a very long time, 5 out of 5 stars. And his company is called Ball Property Tax Services. And all the things we've talked about and all the things we're about to talk about, he can do on your behalf as your agent, again, down in the San Antonio area. Julian, if people want to get a hold of you, how do they reach you?
Phone 210-546-0300, or at an email is jball@ballpps.com.
J-Ball, that's two L's, right? J-B-A-L-L.
Yes, sir.
Okay, very good. If you have any questions for me, by the way, send me an email to askandy@luinc.com. Again, Julian, they're still sitting on my value. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know no matter what comes my way, for every single house I have, single family property, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to protest in each and every county where we have that footprint. I'm very curious to see what's going to happen here. So bated breath, I am waiting. Now, when I see that notice, I know there are two values there. There's a market value and there's an assessed value. Which one are they raising based on the 2021 sales numbers or comps that they're looking at?
They're raising the market value of the property.
And the assessed value may run in tandem with that, meaning they may take my market value up to 200 and my assessed value may be 200 as well. Now, I, as an owner of rental houses where I am not an owner-occupant, I'm at a disadvantage because they can actually take that value up by 10, 20, 30, 40. I've seen 80, 100%. They can really increase both market and assessed value. Now, if you are a homeowner and listening to this, the good news for you is that although they can take up the market value to those market rates, like Julian just said, they're limited on the assessed value. Is that right?
That is correct. The assessed value can only increase 10% if it's your homestead property and you have filed for your homestead exemption each year.
Okay.
So that can go up 10% until it catches market value.
Keyword there is that you have filed for your homestead exemption. That means you're the owner-occupant. That means you're living in that house. You have to have filed with the county and let them know, this is my house, right?
That's correct.
So if they've taken my market value on my homestead, on my personal residence, up from 150 to 200, they can only take me up 10% on the assessed side, and it's the assessed side that I pay my taxes on. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay. So my job then, although they've only taken me up by $15,000 from 150 to 165, if I'm thinking forward, I see that 200 number. What's going to happen next year? They're going to take it up again by 10%. What's going to happen after that? They're going to take it up again by 10% until I hit that market value. Am I understanding that right?
That's correct. It will go up until it's equal to the market value. It can't be higher than the market value.
And that's exactly why you, as a homeowner and as a rental owner, should always be protesting these values down. And the devil's in the details, Julian. How do we do that? What's the way to build my story?
Well, I think, you know, like they always say, pictures are worth a lot. I mean, if you got issues with the house, take pictures to the hearing with you, showing that. And also, if you need work done on that house, then get estimates and take the estimates down there to complete that work. That helps a lot on the residential side. Then, of course, you want to go look at the comparable sales and make sure what's going on and make sure they're looking at your house to what you consider comparable in that neighborhood, similar properties, whether that be size, pool or no pool, or issues like that, you know, the physical characteristics. And then also you want to go in and look at the equity side, which is how are they valuing your neighbors that are similar size properties or comparable properties to you? Are they valuing them at the same rate they're valuing yourself?
So we're looking at essentially two sets of comps. We're looking at the actual sold comps, which drives that market value in my mind. If I'm going to sell my house, that's how I figure out what the market value is. So we're looking at those sold comps, but we're also looking at the comparable values on the appraisal district website. Am I valued the same way as that house across the street that has the exact same footprint as mine, right?
Correct.
Okay. Does that tell me then maybe it's a little bit better for me to go in later in the process to give my cohort, my neighbors, time to go and lower their values? Does that help me?
Yes, it does. I mean, if they get some of theirs lowered, it helps. If they don't get them lowered, it doesn't help you, you know. So I think it just depends on how astute your neighbors are and whether they're filing the protest and doing that research to look at their properties.
Okay. Well, let's take the house apart just a little bit. So if I think about a house, right, we buy these things, we enjoy our cash flow, we don't pay taxes on it because we're depreciating the property as rental owners. One part of that property, however, that I cannot depreciate is the land. And in my tax appraisal, I've noticed they have the land value as well as the value of the sticks and bricks, right, the house itself. And my land values have been going up. If they take my land value up, is there any chance in the world for me to protest that back down?
If you have some land sales that prove it's dropped or not as high as that, but the land is typically a harder avenue to protest, especially in these neighborhoods that are all built out, there is no land sales. They're looking at a percentage of the overall sale to plus.
Okay.
Land.
So if you're rural and listening, if you're out in the country, then yes, that might be the time to apply an approach for that land. But I think for most listeners that are in a subdivision, and most of the houses that we as members at Lifestyles Unlimited are buying for rentals, those are in you know, your typical subdivision. Sounds like forget about it. They've taken it up. We're kind of stuck.
Right, because you're still looking at the overall value.
Okay. So let's focus now on the other part, which is the above ground portion, the sticks and bricks. And you said condition. So I think just maybe I'm making an assumption here, but based on everything we've seen with inflation, with appreciation, with prices going up, basing my protest on sales at the moment is unlikely. Now, I'll look at the sales comps, but I think, and maybe tell me if you agree or disagree, I think the better route to go is to focus on the actual condition of the property.
Right. If you have condition issues, I think that's probably the biggest avenue, especially given the high sales prices we've been seeing. So, you know, take pictures of that, those issues, especially like foundation issues and things like that on some of these rent properties.
Is there, if I'm going into the meet with the informal appraisal or going to the ARB hearing, is there an ideal number of pictures? Is 100 pictures better than 10, or what's too much?
I think 100 would be too much. I would think, you know, 4 to 10, somewhere in that neighborhood.
So they don't want to see every single sheetrock crack in my house.
No, just a couple. You know,
okay.
They want to just.
Well, and that goes back to the story. Here's some sheetrock cracks. Here you can see the light coming in through that door, which is clearly no longer plumb. I have a foundation problem. Now, to your earlier point, you may want to go one step farther and get a free foundation repair estimate from your favorite foundation company. That'll tell you, yeah, you're out of level. Here's what it's going to cost. Submit that along with those pictures. Now your story got just a little bit stronger. What else can we look at in terms of condition?
Well, just the remodel. I mean, are the bathrooms still the older bathrooms? Kitchen, has it been remodeled? Because a lot of the comps you're going to see out there selling for these high prices have been remodeled. You know, and I think that needs to be factored in. So I think the kitchen and baths is your most expensive part. I think you focus on those two rooms as well.
Okay, so not just that my house is in disrepair. It may just be that my house is out of date, and it may very well be, let's say I bought that house 10 years ago, and I may have fixed it up 10 years ago, but the market has shifted, and if you think about those sold comps that are out there, and it's really good to get with a realtor that can get you those pictures. Or if you're a Lifestyles member, use Quest, because that's our application that allows us to pull down the sold and the lease comps. You can see the pictures there. And that'll tell you if they've gone in and, well, I've still got my Formica countertops in my kitchen and I've got the cultured marble in my bathrooms. But those neighbors that sold, what did they do? If they're gonna attain the highest sales price, they're gonna go in and they're gonna fix those things up, to your point, Julian. So I want to get those pictures and hold them next to each other. That is now apples and oranges, and that's a rotted, beat up apple, you know, at that. What other tips and tricks do you have for us?
That's probably most of it on the condition. I mean, the other thing I always tell people, there's drainage issues. I mean, a lot of times that can affect the house, looking at the drainage of the property. You see that's caused a lot of foundation issues.
So anything structural.
Anything to do with the structure of the property.
And I would add to that, if you are a rental owner, so we've got for the owner occupant, that's an approach you can take. If you're a rental owner, you can go one step farther, try to sell that appraisal district on the condition and on the fact that it's a rental, and hey, they're not taking care of it. Maybe they're taking great care of it, but I'll tell you, I've had a lot of success with that over the years. And if you go out to the, I don't know, Julian, in Bexar County, what it looks like, but in Dallas, I can see the desirability. And if my desirability is average or is great, I'm going to try to get it lowered to the next level and a level below that. Hey, I hear the music kicking on, boy. I think we could keep going. I think we could really do a deep dive and really get into the nails and the shingles and everything else. But I do thank you for sharing and coming on today, Julian. Julian Ball, and I'm Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. I thank you for listening. Get out there and protest. Remember, May 16th is your filing deadline to get the process started. So get it going. And I hope to hear from you that you've had a lot of success. Good luck.
Now, from the files of Del Wamsley.
Everything in life can be simplified. Everything in life can be condensed, confined, brought down into the smallest possible increment so that it doesn't take time to get done, so it isn't complicated to get done, so it can be repeated and replicated in massive numbers. That's necessary because to have success, you have to have massive success to have massive wealth, massive success to have massive fitness, massive success to have a great relationship. You have to have a lot of things reoccurring on a regular basis. In other words, I got to be friendly, not once a week, not walk in once a month and be friendly. I got to have that system in place on a daily basis.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.